Let me read you, and you've probably been reading this, something from what's been written in our papers. This is from Paul McGough, a wonderful journalist who was in Iraq, for the Sydney Morning Herald. In the operating theatre, doctors fought to save three lives, a woman with serious head and face injuries, a man who had holes the size of bread and butter plates in his abdomen, and a man with much of his abdominal organs beside him on the operating table. A man was going home in a bus to Najaf. He said, "I could see the American flag on the tank 500 metres down the road from us. There was no warning. There was a noise and a lot of shouting on the bus. Then people's heads seemed to snap away from their bodies, and many of them were dead. His wife's mother died. He said we had to bury her without her arm because we didn't know how to match all the body parts from the different families. We still wonder what happened. The bus did not explode and there were no burn marks, so I don't know what weapon this was." They tried out their new weapons, like Hitler tried out his new weapons in the Spanish Civil War. "But the floor and the inside of the roof were layered with human flesh and the seats were soaked in blood." Robert Fisk, "It was an outrage and an obscenity, the severed hand on the metal door, the swamp of blood and mud across the road, the human brains inside a garage, the incinerated skeletal remains of an Iraqi mother and her three small children in their still smouldering car. This is war. It's nothing to do with tanks and soldiers. This is war." Then there was a video that was made, and it included a father holding up pieces of his baby and screaming, "Cowards. My baby, Will, has just had a new baby. I was there at the delivery. I just could not contemplate that happening to Will." Two lorry loads of bodies, including women in flowered dresses, could be seen outside the Halar hospital. Then there was a woman who was brushing hair before her mirror. She was 33 with a PhD in psychology. And something suddenly came in the mirror, in the window, and a heart was lying on her chest. And stop people's hearts when they've got a pacemaker. But they destroy all the electricity systems. And they on purpose, obviously. They destroyed the electricity in all the towns, in Basra, in Baghdad, in Najaf, everywhere. They also destroyed the water systems. Any society needs water. That's an international war crime. Violates the Geneva Conventions. For that, Bush et al. Should be removed from office. At the hospitals, the doctors were knee-deep in blood. One day they got in 18 corpses, I think, and 100 bodies in a little town somewhere. I can't find it now. And the mortuary of the hospital was a butcher's shop of chopped up corpses. Know what? The Americans saw none of this and were told none of it. None of it. The media in America should be taken to the International Criminal Court and tried. So it's a great scheme, you see. First of all, you bomb the hell out of a country, and destroy everything and steal the most valuable things in the world, and you get a lot of money from doing that, and then you rebuild it. And what about the Iraqis sitting there? And now they're going to build 4 American bases in Iraq, and they're taking it over. It's an occupying force. It's what Hitler did with Poland and Czechoslovakia and all the countries in Europe, and he tried to do it in Russia. And now the Shiites are rising up, said it's our country. We want it. And a man set himself up in Baghdad and said, I'm the mayor. The Americans have just arrested him. How dare they invade another country? Who do they think they are? Am I angry? Am I upset? Am I devastated? Yes. And then they said, well, Syria's been protecting Iraq, and some people have gone to Syria, and maybe the weapons of mass destruction have been taken there, so we're going to bomb Syria. But know what? Bombing Syria is in this document, Project for a New American Sanctuary. They wrote about it years ago. And then the next one is Iran. The next one might be North Korea. And indeed, Rumsfeld thinks there should be a regime change in North Korea. Who does he think he is? And then they're saying they might actually bomb the North Korean nuclear reactor and the reprocessing plant, which will kill hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people of acute radiation illness because it's a meltdown, and leukemia and cancer. Is that a war crime? Have we ever heard of anything like that before in this world? But the one they're really after, and they write about, is China. Now, China's got 1.3 billion people. It's surging along with its capitalist ethic, except for SARS, which has set it back a little bit. And because America has to dominate the planet for the rest of time, they're setting up China as a new Cold War enemy. China's only got 18 missiles that can hit America. She's nothing. But she's got a lot of people, and she's very smart. So America is now currently ringing China with bases in Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, Georgia, Taiwan, South Korea, Japan, Guam, Indonesia, the Philippines, and Australia. They're militarising the Pacific as I talk. I have hardly touched what is in this book. Now, two things. I'm going to give you the cure, the prescription for survival, and this is big time for you. I want Canada to emulate New Zealand. I want Canada and your gutsy people, and this is your country, it doesn't belong to the Americans even though you signed the NAFTA Accord. You Canadians are going to make your country nuclear free. You're going to stop mining and selling uranium because you're selling cancer by doing that. That's immoral. You are going to stop selling CANDU reactors because they're great for bomb factories. They make pure plutonium. You are going to stop American ships coming into Nanus Bay with their nuclear weapons, and you're going to do what New Zealand did. Every time an American ship or sub came into Wellington Harbour, thousands of little boats were out speeding around, and a guy got on the submarine with a big bucket of yellow paint, and he painted the submarine yellow. You know about the Beatles, don't you? And David Longley, the Prime Minister, said eventually, we refuse to sit in the dress circle of the nuclear theatre. And that's where you are. You're in the dress circle. And you've got to get out of NORAD because that's the part of the system designed to fight and win a nuclear war and produce nuclear winter and the end of these flowers and that baby. Can you do it? Yes. Are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? I'll tell you how to do it. You get out if you love this planet, you get the National Film Board in Montreal to make DVDs, and you start showing it in all your churches and your synagogues, and I've told you this earlier, in your schools and your universities, and you just deluge the country with that film. It's old, but it's still totally up to date. Then you get everyone to read this book. Because you see, we're all physicians now to a planet that's in the intensive care unit. And as I read Grey's Anatomy to really learn to become a good doctor, you now have to read this and learn every word and underline it so you know what you're talking about, because information is ammunition. And Jefferson said, an informed democracy will behave in a responsible fashion. That's always been my experience. So you get out and you educate the whole of Canada. It's only 30 million people. It's not much. I know New Zealand had 3 million, but you'll do it. And you all get on television, doctors here, Al's here, there are doctors in the audience, put your white coats on, your stethoscopes, your mirrors with a hole in it, and you go on television and say, tell the people what's happening, because fundamentally I'm talking about medicine, preventive medicine, to prevent the final epidemic of the human race. If you've got it in your gut, you'll do it. If you have the courage to go through the pain of what I said tonight, you'll grow spiritually, emotionally, and no one will tell you what to do. You'll know. You'll be impelled by your intuition. No one's ever told me what to do. A woman heard me talk 20 years ago and got so depressed, same talk. She couldn't move for 2 years, could hardly eat or get out of bed. One day she woke up and a light went on in her head, a switch. She got dressed up, pearls, went to the Heritage Foundation, knocked on the door. They said, who are you? She said, I'm Joan. She got a job there for a year, well paid, and at night when they went home, she went through all their records to find out who funded them, what their policies were, and at the end of the year, she turned herself into Joan of Arc, and she set off on a crusade across America to speak in church after synagogue to teach the American people what the agenda of the Heritage Foundation was. I could tell you hundreds of similar stories, and no one worked it out. They just knew what they had to do. I've never known what I'm going to do next. I just do it, but I don't work it out. What I'm doing is setting up an institute in Washington, a conservative think tank called the Nuclear Policy Research Institute, and unfortunately we've run out of forms, but I'll give you the webpage. I'm going to take on the Heritage Foundation full frontal in the media. So every time they're on, we're on. We've got fantastic scientists and doctors and the like to put on to counter what they're doing and teach the American people the truth. Because only by education and debate and healthy critical thinking will we get there. So I'm for a revolution in America, the third American revolution. The second was the freeze, and the third one is to save the planet. My goal, doctors always have a goal to cure their patients. You have to get rid of the septicemia by tomorrow night or the patient might die, is to eradicate nuclear weapons between Russia and America in 5 years, and it's the Americans holding it up. France, China and England said that they would get rid of theirs. Israel's more difficult. She's got the third largest nuclear arsenal in the world. Pakistan and India would be easier. And to close down the 103 nuclear power plants in America, because everyone knows now terrorists don't need nuclear weapons. They're deployed all over the country, and those things are really easy to melt down. And then you contaminate an area the size of Pennsylvania. You know, the Second World War could never be fought today because Europe is covered with nuclear power plants and Europe would be uninhabitable forevermore. So my goal in 5 years is to end the nuclear age. Am I naive? Yeah. Am I stupid? Yeah. But when I came to America in 78, I said, we're going to get rid of nuclear weapons. And they said, who do you think you are? You're stupid, you're naive, and you're a woman. And you're an alien. But I didn't ever see, I don't have any radar, I didn't see anything that would inhibit me, and I just walked down the thing and recruited the doctors, and we nearly did it. And I know we're tired, and I know we spent years doing this, but now is the final push. Now we cure the nuclear madness. And I'm going to be watching you big time, and I'll work in America. If you want to help me with my Nuclear Policy Research Institute, the website is nuclearpolicy.org. If you'd like to contribute some money, I'd be very grateful. But you've got work to do here. So let's work in unison together. I'll come back and help you. And 5 years, by which time that baby will be 5 years and 3 months old. And that's the gift we're going to give that baby and all the babies in the world, and the kangaroo babies, and the lion babies, and the elephant babies, and the koala babies. Thank you.